reports that New York issued a subpoena this week for Michael Cohen in its investigation of the Trump Foundation and state charity and tax laws. Cohen, the president's former lawyer, pleaded guilty in Manhattan federal court August 21st to campaign finance violations and other charges. Then his lawyer, Lanny Davis, went on television saying his client has information that would be of interest to federal and state investigators. The next day, after Cohen received the subpoena, August 22nd, the lawyer called New York tax officials about the case. An anonymous state official would not say what the call was about. Read the full story at the Associated Press website. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, August 24, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Nationwide rallies this weekend against Trump's Supreme Court nominee. Also on the Friday rundown, faith leaders to march in solidarity with immigrants. And when it comes to the environment, the red tide continues to harm Florida's coasts. But first, our top story, nearly 20 inches of rain fell on parts of Hawaii's Big Island as a powerful hurricane approached the state Thursday. NBC News reports both flooding and landslides blocking roads and carrying the potential for life-threatening effects. The one bit of good news, forecasters say, it has weakened to a Category 3 storm. And for the New York Times, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office considering pursuing criminal charges against the Trump Organization and two senior company officials in connection with Michael Cohen's hush money payment to an adult film star. It's expected to be a busy weekend for people advocating for justice, women, immigrant, and voting rights. We begin with Eric Tegedoff, who reports rallies in Oregon and nationwide are taking place on Sunday to protest President Trump's nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh.
The protests coincide with Women's Equality Day, which celebrates the 19th Amendment to the Constitution that gave women the right to vote. More than 150 Unite for Justice rallies are scheduled, including four in Oregon, and a main focus will be women's reproductive rights. Maddie Gavel-Briggs is a leader of Our Indivisible Revolution Sherwood, the group sponsoring the rally. She worries that Kavanaugh could roll back those rights.
To have this nominee at this time, someone who will most assuredly weigh in on Roe v. Wade and could set us back decades in women's rights and opportunities to have a choice over their bodies and their futures. There's so many things that are in jeopardy.
This week, Kavanaugh told Maine Senator Susan Collins, a pro-choice Republican, that he believes the Roe v. Wade case is settled law. Other protests are planned for Bend, Coos Bay, and Eugene, and in Vancouver, Washington.
Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings are set to begin on September the 4th. And women will be encouraged to register to vote in the November election as part of Women's Equality Day celebration this Sunday in Albuquerque. More from Ross Brown.
August 26th is a date the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was adopted in 1920, giving women the right to vote. Mary Wilson heads the Voter Turnout Committee in Albuquerque and says the League of Women Voters is using Sunday to kick off a long-range project to increase voter registration in New Mexico. She says because moms play a significant role in teaching their kids the importance of voting, they're reaching out to them first.
We are targeting mothers 35 years and under as our first target group to try to increase voter turnout amongst that group.
The League of Women Voters is a civic organization that was formed to help women play a larger role in public affairs after they won the right to vote.
New Mexico could elect the first Native American congresswoman in U.S. history this November. Members of New Hampshire's faith community are marching from Manchester to Dover to show solidarity with immigrants who are being rounded up and deported.
The march began Wednesday at the federal building in Manchester and will conclude on Saturday outside the Stafford County Jail, where immigrants facing deportation are held. According to Jason Wells, executive director of the New Hampshire Council of Churches, the 40-mile route mirrors the path followed by many of those detained by ICE.
We're doing this to build community between people born here and people who have immigrated here. We're doing this to raise the profile and tell this story about what's happening right here in New Hampshire.
There are about 150 immigrants in detention at the county jail, one of six facilities in New England holding immigration detainees for the federal government. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
That march will end on Saturday in New Hampshire with a prayer service and vigil outside the jail in Dover, as they want to send the message that they stand with immigrants. And finally, Tramell Gomes tells us harmful algae blooms on Florida's southwest coast have killed wildlife and steered away beachgoers since late last year, and the problem does not appear to be slowing down.
The largest stretch of algae known as red tide spans close to 150 miles across coastal counties along the Gulf of Mexico. It causes respiratory issues for swimmers and kills fish and other marine life. An algal cell concentration continues to rise in some areas. Edward Phillips, a University of Florida professor of algal physiology and ecology, says red tides happen, but recent outbreaks are different.
Red tides are periodically do appear. What's maybe different now is they seem to be happening somewhat more frequently and more intensely.
Red tide has affected coastal waters from northern Collier County to Pinellas County. Manatee County cleared 160 tons of debris and dead wildlife from its coast on Wednesday and is seeking more volunteers to help combat the algae. The warming climate and ocean temperatures are thought to be exacerbating algae growth. Other likely contributors are septic tanks and farm runoff, which overload the water with nutrients. But Phillips believes pinpointing a specific cause could prevent looking for the most effective overall solutions.
The multidimensional problem has to be approached from multidimensional solutions. So it's complex, it can be expensive, and it can take a while for the results of the management activities to actually...
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission provides weekly updates on the red tide. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Clifford. You've been newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not.
According to the website 538.com, Representative Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 90% of the time.
This week, one election forecaster moved the 19th congressional district election between Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, and Rhinebeck-based Democrat Antonio Delgado from Tilts Republican to toss-up, and another gave Delgado a slightly better chance to win November 6th. Inside Elections updated 32 contests this fall, mostly towards the Democrats, and now lists the Faso-Delgado election as a toss-up. The 538.com website released their U.S. House election forecast August 17th, and that lists Delgado with a 51.6% chance of winning, Faso with a 48.4% chance of winning another term. 538.com prediction currently forecasts Delgado with 48.2% of the vote, and Faso with 47.9% of the November vote. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the New York State AFL-CIO has endorsed Antonio Delgado in his campaign to unseat Republican incumbent John Faso in the 19th Congressional District. The union did not endorse anyone in the 18th Congressional District race pending the outcome of the Democratic primary in September. Incumbent Sean Patrick Maloney is also running for state attorney general. The union endorsed Governor Andrew Cuomo and Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul and incumbent U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand for re-election. The Times Union is reporting the AFL-CIO is also backing Democrats in nearly every contested seat for the state Senate. Only 15 Republican senators were endorsed April 21st by the political arm of the state federation, which has 2.5 million members. The union backed 36 Democrats, including four running for open seats. However, the AFL-CIO did not endorse a candidate in the race to replace Republican Senator Kathy Marchione between Democrat Aaron Glad and Republican Daphne Jordan. Nor did the group endorse either candidate in the race between Amador and Strong. David Lombardo is reporting for Capital Confidential. The odds are decreasing that incumbent Republicans John Faso and Claudia Tini will keep their congressional seats, according to an analysis by CQ Roll Call. The 19th and 22nd congressional districts moved from Tilt Republican to Toss Up, August 21st, as roll call upgraded the Democrats' chances in 30 districts and improved the Republican outlook in two races. Faso is facing attorney Antonio Delgado, and Tini is being challenged by Assemblymember Anthony Berdisi. Nathan L. Gonzalez, an election analyst for Roll Call, said, and I quote, "Their re-election chances shouldn't be regarded as any better than a toss-up at this point," end quote. 538's new forecasting model is also calling the Faso-Delgado race a toss-up. 538 estimates that both the Faso-Delgado and Tini-Brindisi races will be decided by a handful of points. Read the full story at Capital Confidential. William J. Kimball reports in the Daily Freeman that while Michael Cohen, the president's former lawyer, accuses President Donald Trump of committing a crime, Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, does not believe he should be impeached. Faso said by phone, and I quote, "It's a serious issue, and I think it has to play out, and we'll see what unfolds. I've said from the get-go, the Mueller investigation should go to its natural conclusion. Let the chips fall where they may. The only thing that we've not seen yet is a specific allegation in terms of any of these legal matters that have been pursued by Mueller of the issue of conspiracy or collusion with a foreign government by the Trump campaign. That may yet happen, but let's wait and see what unfolds," unquote. Cohen pleaded guilty to 5 counts of tax evasion and a single count of bank fraud and said that he lied on a home equity line of credit to obtain money to pay off Stormy Daniels. And I quote, "in coordination with and at the direction of a candidate for federal office," end quote. And that he did so, and I quote, "for the principal purpose of influencing the election," end quote. Trump said he knew about the payment, and there is an audio recording of him discussing the payment with Cohen before the election. Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, has said that Trump campaign officials met with Russians to get political dirt on Hillary Clinton before the election. Faso said, and I quote, "I think what that speaks to is political stupidity, because the first thing anyone in that campaign should have done should have been to report that overture by the Russians to the FBI and not have that meeting," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. New York League of Conservation Voters Education Fund is reporting the major party candidates in the 19th congressional district race will face off in a forum focused on environmental issues August 29th. First-term Congressman John Faso, a Republican from Kinderhook, and challenger Antonio Delgado, a Democrat from Rhinebeck, will participate in the event sponsored by the League, the Friends of the Upper Delaware River, the Coalition for the Delaware River Watershed, and the Delaware Highlands Conservancy. The forum will focus on efforts at the federal, local, and state levels to protect the Delaware River watershed. According to the League, the watershed provides drinking water to 15 million people and is responsible for 600,000 jobs and $22 billion in annual economic activity. The event will be held in the Western Hotel's Grand Ballroom in Calicoon, 6 p.m. Wednesday, August 29th. From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny afternoon with a temperature high near 74 degrees and a northwest wind at around 11 miles an hour. For tonight, it will be mostly clear with a low around 55 and a west wind at 3 to 6 miles an hour. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Friday, sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 81 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 60. The sun rose this morning at 6:10 a.m. and the sun will set at 7:44 p.m. That will give us 13 hours and 33 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes and 40 seconds less than yesterday. So there you have your WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. For local news, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org.
This is Brian DeWine. I leave my clock radio tuned to 90.7 FM so that when it goes off in the morning, the first thing I hear is WGXC.
Where did you go? There's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Truth isn't truth.
Where is the collusion? You know, they're still looking for collusion. Where is the collusion? Find some collusion. We want to find the collusion.
Here's some collusion for you. Donald Trump colluded with Michael Cohen and David Pecker in an interstate conspiracy to violate federal campaign finance law. And that's not me making that accusation. That is Donald Trump's personal lawyer and confidant today in federal court under oath making that accusation about the President of the United States participating in two federal crimes. Quote, for the principal purpose of influencing the election. Bill Clinton was impeached for less. Bill Clinton was never charged with committing crimes in order to get elected. Bill Clinton was never accused of a criminal conspiracy to defraud the American voter in order to get elected. There are 16 current members of the United States Senate who voted to convict Bill Clinton in his impeachment trial and remove him from office for less than what Donald Trump stands accused of tonight by Michael Cohen. And one of those Republican senators was actually a member of the House of Representatives at the time. And as many of you might recall, in Senate impeachment trials, the prosecutors are actually members of the House Judiciary Committee. And here is the standard for removal from the office of the presidency that Lindsey Graham argued for in the Clinton impeachment trial in the United States Senate.
So the point I'm trying to make is you don't even have to be convicted of a crime to lose your job in this constitutional republic. If this body determines that your conduct as a public official is clearly out of bounds in your role, because impeachment is not about punishment. Impeachment is about cleansing the office. Impeachment is about restoring honor and integrity to the office.
You will not hear Lindsey Graham say that again. Lindsey Graham and all of the Republican senators who voted for Bill Clinton's removal from office have proven in the last 2 years that they did not mean a word that they said when they voted to remove Bill Clinton from office. Not a single word of it. They do not care about restoring honor and integrity to the office. But impeachment begins in the House of Representatives. And if Democrats win the House in November, then we are tonight already on the road to impeachment hearings in the House of Representatives, impeachment hearings that Republicans cannot stop. The New York Times is reporting tonight that the White House realizes this and is worried about impeachment as never before. White House correspondent Maggie Haberman tweeted, Trump folks are worried about impeachment more than before. The thinking goes like this. This is something tangible, not a theoretical, and it didn't come from Mueller. Does not mean it will happen, but this has moved to a different stage in their minds.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the honey drippers in the house tonight, and they just got back from Washington, D.C. I think they got something they want to say.
I don't know.
Giuliani, the president's lawyer, and a one-man legal improv troupe. Now, Giuliani was on TV this morning to talk about the ongoing Mueller investigation, and he came up with a rationale for his boss's refusal to sit down with Mueller that was, even by Giuliani standards, very Giuliani.
When you tell me that, you know, he should testify because he's going to tell the truth and he shouldn't worry, well, that's so silly because it's somebody's version of the truth, not the truth. He didn't have a conversation.
Truth is truth. I don't mean to go like...
It isn't truth. Truth isn't truth. The president of the United States says, I didn't...
Truth isn't truth. Mr. Mayor, do you realize what... This is going to become
Don't do this to me.
The Trump Tower meeting itself is at least evidence of you better investigate. How is it not?
Well, because the meeting was originally for the purpose of getting information about Clinton. The meeting turned into a meeting.
Which in itself, it's attempted collusion. I understand.
No, it's
you
not.
Just said it. The meeting was intended to get dirt on Hillary Clinton from a Kremlin lawyer.
No.
That was the intention of the meeting. You just said it.
What is Giuliani doing? And why does the White House keep letting him go on TV? Because at this rate, Trump is going to wind up behind bars with Giuliani visiting him and saying, don't worry, Donald, prison isn't prison.
It is a chilling day in American history. For the first time ever, a president has used the power of his office to punish members of the intelligence community who have criticized him. Specifically, former CIA director John Brennan. Now, presidential spokesperson Sarah Huckabee read the president's statement today about Brennan from the official White House lion perch.
As the head of the executive branch and commander-in-chief, I have a unique constitutional responsibility to protect the nation's classified information, including by controlling access to it. Today, in fulfilling that responsibility, I've decided to revoke the security clearance of John Brennan, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Truth isn't truth.
This means Brennan can't read classified intelligence. So now the only place he'll read threats against America is on Trump's Twitter feed. And the official reason Trump gave for revoking Brennan's clearance, Brennan, quote, leveraged his status to make a series of unfounded and outrageous allegations, including wild outbursts on the internet. Yes. Yes.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
I'd say that's the pot calling the kettle black, but there may be tapes of it calling the kettle something much worse.
The first ever president of the United States who attacks individuals, including his own employees and American institutions on social media, as recently as several times just today, just tonight. The New York Times has counted and reports the president has tweeted attacks against at least 487 people, a figure now dated because of fresh attacks tonight. 487 people, companies, or institutions. since launching his run for the White House.
I'm honored to open this important summit on cyberbullying prevention.
He tweeted that again this morning, witch hunt.
The safe and responsible use of social media.
Who else the president has tweeted about this weekend six times? A guy named Bruce Orr.
But can also be destructive and harmful when used incorrectly.
He's been venting his frustration in a series of 10 tweets over the last 24 hours.
Conduct themselves safely and in positive manner in an online setting.
One of the many tweets from the president, he must be a John Dean type, quote, rat.
To reducing peer-to-peer bullying through kindness and open communication.
A particularly sharp jab at the special counsel directly, calling Mueller, quote, disgraced and discredited.
Let's face it, most children are more aware of the benefits and pitfalls of social media than some adults.
All this week, folks, we've been hearing salacious details from Omarosa's book about her time in the White House. In it, she writes, in my opinion, Melania is counting every minute until he is out of office and she can divorce him. Omarosa also claims that the First Lady's fashion choices are meant as rebukes to her husband, and that the I don't really care, do you jacket she wore to the child detention center was meant to hurt Trump, setting off a controversy that he would have to fix and trying to make sure that no one asked her to do something like that again.
Omarosa, you're the worst, but damn, I'm glad you came. Will your sour grapes and secret tapes finally kick his ass at his own game?
It's the art of the deal.
Omarosa, you're a mess, but I'm not mad you're here.
Omarosa.
If you crush this clown, I'll clean your crown when they make you woman of the year.
Omarosa, we know that you're ratchet and mean, but we're ready to make you our queen.
Yes, queen, and when we say,
fine,
we'll buy your book today. We only hope that you'll play your tapes, Omarosa, Omarosa, press play.
If I need to, I'll do what I have to do to protect myself.
Oh,
Omarosa, God, you suck, but go and make that coin.
Make that money, honey.
Honey, open up a secret club for your fans and maybe I will join. I said maybe, oh. My God, I hate you, Omarosa Manigault.
You're a monster,
but your ass I'll kiss. Cause now he's pissing his pants and saying, oi, go vault.
He isn't Jewish, but okay.
Though you might be a fraud, every night till I pray to the Lord.
Play the tape, play the tape, play the tape.
That if you heard,
yeah,
him saying the N-word, you taped it and that you'll play the tape, Omarosa, Omarosa, that's O-M-A-R-O-S-A.
Believe me, my tapes are much better than theirs.
Omarosa.
Donald Trump has met his match. I am not going anywhere. This is just the beginning.
Brandi Rainbow is a total loser. Believe me.
Now, you've brought with you today a new recording. This is an exclusive, so let's go ahead and have a listen. We warn you that what you're about to hear is extremely stupid.
Hey, lowlife, it's me. Listen, I had no idea they were going to fire you after I told them to. I'm absolutely sick about it. Don't love it at all, but what I really wouldn't love is you flapping your yap all over town about all the crazy I say and do. So listen, I'd like to offer you $15,000 a month to shut the hell up and occasionally pick up my dry cleaning. Cool? Thanks, dog.
Okay. What the hell was that?
I saw this as an attempt to buy my silence, to censor me, and to pay me off $15,000 per month.
Oh boy! Has her book tour gotten under the president's, I want to say, skin? Not sure. According to a Republican insider, Trump told advisors that he wants Attorney General Jeff Sessions to have Manigo Newman arrested, although it's unclear what law Trump believes she broke.
What law did she break? Is my heart a law?
Omarosa dropped a new secret tape today. This time, it's her and presidential daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, and it confirms Omarosa's claim that she was offered $15,000 a month to hush to work for the campaign in a job as assistant secretary of keeping your trap shut.
It sounds a little like, obviously, that there's something that the back pocket can pull out. Clearly, if you come over as a campaign, like, we can't have, we gotta...
Oh, God, no.
Everybody's positive, right?
Why is Lara Trump in charge of this? Look, super important meeting. Everybody in here, we can't have Omarosa spilling sensitive info that could destroy my presidency. We need someone to handle this delicately. Send my worst son's wife. Okay? And Omarosa made it very clear she had more tapes ready to drop.
You know, there are things that I write about, and then there are things that I'm going to save to share when the time is right. I am not going anywhere. I'm not going to be bullied. I'm not intimidated. And I'm going to go toe-to-toe with him. Everything he throws at me, believe me, my tapes are much better than theirs. Well, what Mr. Trump does will be brought to light.
According to one of President Trump's former top aides, the Trump administration is terrified of what else former staffer Omarosa may have recorded within the White House. Oh, God. Please don't let it be an album.
Now, for the first time in one collection, you can enjoy all of Donald Trump's classic bigoted hits. Introducing Donald Trump. Now, that's what I call racist. All his hottest derogatory tracks. It'll have you grabbing your torch and marching your booty. You'll get...
I have a great relationship with the blacks. With the blacks.
Blacks. You also had people that were...
Very fine people.
On both sides.
Get that son of a bitch off the field right now.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
And some they're rapists.
I assume are good people.
And many, many more.
Obama's birth certificate. He made LeBron look smart, which isn't easy to do. Whole countries. Low IQ. Central Park 5 are still guilty. Muslim ban. Build a wall. Mexican judge. Nigerians live in huts.
Order now and we'll throw in Donald Trump. Now that's what I call sexist.
If you don't want my daughter, perhaps I'll be dating her.
Call now!
Adrian, come here. I want to ask you a question. So, how did you come here? Come here. You're not nervous, right? Speaks perfect English. Come here. I want to ask you about that. 78 lives. You saved 78 people. So, how did you feel that there were people in that trailer? There's a lot of trailers around. Please. He didn't know he was going to do this, but it's just of interest.
That was President Trump moments ago at this event at the White House to honor Border Patrol agents and ICE officials. Jeremy Dimon is with me now from the White House. This is a man, saved 78 people, and as the president is describing him, says, almost like an aside, speaks perfect English.
So it is interesting to have the president make that kind of a comment about a U.S. law enforcement officer. Of course he speaks perfect English. He's a U.S. law enforcement officer, of course.
A speechwriter for President Trump who attended a 2016 white nationalist conference has left the White House. Darren Beatty confirmed to CNN that he spoke at the 2016 H.L. Mencken Club conference. That event is regularly attended by well-known white nationalists such as Richard Spencer.
Half of Americans, I think the poll was 49%, think that Donald Trump is a racist.
Racist. He doesn't have to use the word N-word for it to become very clear what he is.
A racist.
A bigot and a racist.
He's even more racist than people that we know are racist.
Truth isn't truth.
Yes, it's very amusing because it's so crackpotish and so evidently Trump, but there is a serious side to it, I think.
Magician and former Celebrity Apprentice contestant Penn Jillette has come forward to say he heard President Trump make racially insensitive comments on set. Meanwhile, Teller hasn't said a word.
Truth isn't truth.
President Trump, feeling the heat from a Russia investigation that just will not go away, railing on Twitter this morning that the special counsel is worse than the infamous Senator Joseph McCarthy, the man behind the Red Scare in the 1950s. Trump claiming he has nothing to hide. This in response to a stunning new New York Times report that White House counsel Don McGahn has spent 30 hours over 9 months talking to Robert Mueller, the special counsel, the White House lawyer, effectively a cooperating witness in the investigation of President Trump.
Cohen pleads guilty, implicating president.
President Trump today taking cover after he was implicated in federal crimes and trying to spin a narrative completely at odds with what we're hearing from the United States Justice Department. This comes after two men who were once part of the president's inner circle are now convicted felons. In the case of the United States of America versus Paul Manafort, the former Trump campaign chair, was found guilty on 8 felony counts. President Trump today tweeted that he feels, quote, such respect for Manafort. He suggested the convictions did not constitute justice. He thanked Manafort for not flipping on him. And the president falsely said the charges were merely a 12-year-old tax case, when in fact Manafort was found guilty of 2 bank fraud charges that took place either on or around March 2016, when Manafort joined the Trump campaign. In the case of the United States of America versus Michael Cohen, the president's former fixer and attorney pleaded guilty on 8 counts and implicated President Trump, saying that he, Cohen, violated campaign finance laws, quote, in coordination with and at the direction of a candidate for federal office, i.e. President Trump, for the principal purpose of influencing the election. President Trump today is claiming that those campaign finance violations are, quote, not a crime. That's not what the Justice Department said. The same president, of course, is named as Individual One in the plea deal. Now, you can believe Individual One, who is implicated in the crimes, the president, who does have a long and storied history of saying things that aren't true, or you can believe career prosecutors at the Justice Department, 2 federal judges, and a jury of Paul Manafort's peers. But you do have to pick between one or the other. This afternoon, another demonstrable falsehood from the president, telling his favorite channel that he did not learn of the hush money payments until after they'd been made, despite the fact, of course, that Michael Cohen recently released an audio recording from September 2016 in which Donald Trump can be clearly heard discussing a potential payment to Playboy model Karen McDougal. And you'll recall that President Trump himself verified that tape, tweeting at the time, what kind of a lawyer would tape a client?
Find some collusion.
I can tell you that Mr. Cohen has knowledge on certain subjects that should be of interest to the special counsel, knowledge about the computer crime of hacking and whether or not Mr. Trump knew ahead of time about that crime and even cheered it on. I can tell you it's my observation that what he knows, that he witnessed, will be of interest to the special counsel. That's my opinion. We'll see.
You're saying Michael Cohen knew that the president of the United States knew about hacking during the campaign?
So I can't go beyond saying that it's my observation that this topic will be of interest to the special counsel. He has statements that he can make along those lines, but I can't go beyond that.
Tonight, the president went to West Virginia for a rally. There were the usual chants of drain the swamp and lock her up, but they were not as lusty as past events. And the president's comments, truth be told, were slightly less sharp. After landing and before leaving for the rally, the president approached the traveling news media to comment on the Manafort conviction.
I feel badly, I must tell you that Paul Manafort's a good man. He was with Ronald Reagan. He was with a lot of different people over the years, and I feel very sad about that. It doesn't involve me, but I still feel, you know, it's a very sad thing that happened. This has nothing to do with Russian collusion. We continue the witch hunt. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, what about Michael Cohen? Sorry, you're any comment on Michael Cohen?
Preet Bharara, the former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, said on Twitter today, just a plain statement of fact, Michael Cohen, in a courtroom in the Southern District of New York, under oath, declared that the president directed him to commit a federal crime.
And David, the president can fire the attorney general. He can fire the deputy attorney general. He can pretty much rip that investigation apart.
Yeah, sure, he can do that. And of course, that's what's troubling about having a president who is as cray as Trump is. And right now, he's kind of cray to the cradiest power. You know, abnormal has become the new normal. Every day we have not one, not two, but half a dozen things. You know, you didn't list the fact that he said that he kind of likes Kim Jong-un today and he'd like to meet with Kim Jong-un. We didn't talk about the fact that he thought Manafort Bort was a good guy and that, you know, it was a horrible thing that was being done to him. Every single day he violates norms. But I think the thing that we need to keep in mind as we look forward on this thing is that someday we're going to be looking back at all this and saying, these were the good old days. These were the days when the pressure wasn't high. There wasn't a Democratic Congress that was running 11 investigations and looking at his books. His son wasn't in the dock. His daughter wasn't in the dock. His son-in-law wasn't in the dock. And, you know, when that pressure builds up on him, and God forbid we have some kind of international crisis, which we haven't had, this kind of level of craziness is gonna look good by comparison, because the guy is clearly losing his grip.
Why did Donald Trump cross the road? Okay, first of all, he never crossed the road. That's fake news. And second of all, the people who are accusing him of crossing the road, they're the ones who crossed the road. Third, Hillary Clinton crossed a bunch of roads, and the media never asked about that. Fourth, if he did cross it, it was totally legal. The light was green. Fifth, Donald Trump is a successful businessman who knows more about roads than any of you ever will. Sixth, the stock market is at an all-time high, but all you want to talk about is crossing roads. Seventh, the road crossing investigation is a politically motivated witch hunt. Eighth, the real question is, how do we stop illegal immigrants from crossing the roads? Number nine, Vladimir Putin is a good guy. I'd love to hold hands and cross the road with him. And 10th, Donald Trump crossed the road to make this country great again. So thank you, and no more questions, Your Honor.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Chris Forsyth and the Solar Motel Band ask, have we mistaken the bottle for the whiskey inside? I'm Tom Rode. Tune in to me and my friend Henry the Hudson Whale on Friday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show, 9 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Acre at 90.7 FM.
Good evening. Thanks for coming out to the High Low Catskill. It's such a rainy, dreadful evening. My name is Aaron Martin, and I'm going to be your opening act tonight. We're opening for band Regret the Hour, who's here from the city. And stick around for their set. And without further ado, we're going to get started here. Thanks for coming out. Yeah.